Hello, this is Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and filling in today for Brady Hole on The Hole Show here at KFKA, 1310 AM. I'm in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios and ready to talk some Colorado State sports. Everybody's got a lot of different questions I know about the Rams on their mind. Obviously, right now, June, huge recruiting month. The NCAA just reinstated live in-person recruiting. And so Colorado State has taken full advantage. They have gotten nine players committed already for the 2022 signing class, including three in-state from Colorado, kind of continuing an emphasis that Steve Adazio has followed since he got here. And certainly that's something that I know people get excited about. Everybody, you know, not only likes to talk recruiting, but they all really like to talk about when you get a local guy that's going to play college football locally here. You know, we've had the McBrides, and there's been a lot of great Colorado State players over the years that have come from Colorado high schools. So, you know, why not? Some of the greatest players Colorado State has ever had have come from Colorado high schools. Guys like Kyle Bell, who's just down here south in Weld County a little ways, and you know, the Trey and Toby McBride, so many. I can't even go into naming them all right now. Ricky Brewer, certainly you have some other guys on the team right now. BC Johnson was a Colorado kid. The latest one I just talked to about an hour and a half ago, actually, before heading over here, was Bryce Johnson. He is a defensive player out of Lutheran High School in Parker, and kind of an interesting story in itself in that he's been a free safety and a wide receiver all along. He said he was at Colorado State's camp, and they started looking at him and said, hey, why don't you come work with the linebackers a little bit? He went and worked with the linebackers. They said, hey, why don't you come over here and do some rush pass rush drills? And by the time he was done, they were offering him a scholarship as a rush defensive end outside linebacker, and he just accepted that over the weekend. And is really looking forward to what he can do. At this point, he's 6'2", 195, but he's going into his senior year of high school. Plans to bulk up a little more, has some quickness, plays wide receiver on offense as well. And he was just really, really excited about what Colorado State had to offer. The more he looked into it, the more he talked to the coaches. He said that he really believes that Steve Adazio and this staff are building something, quote, truly special. And that's what you want your recruits to say always. But nevertheless, when you've got an in-state kid saying things like that, that can't do anything but good for your program. So great to see him. They also picked up a commitment late last week from Malachi McLean, who is a safety out of Manville, Texas. Another guy, he had offers from Houston and Utah State as well as Colorado State. He chose the Rams. You know, I was at the state track meet over the weekend, Saturday, state track finals, watching Kai O'Day, the wide receiver out of Cherry Creek High School that had already committed to Colorado State for the 2022 signing class, watching him win the 400 meters, finish second in the 100 meters. I can't remember if it was second or third in the 200, but he's one of the fastest kids in all of Colorado, and he wants to play college football at Colorado State. Nothing but good things when you can get that kind of a commitment from people. So I think that's exciting and something that everybody should, feel good about. Again, these guys are always going to look good on paper. They're always going to sound good. But these guys are saying really good things about Steve Adazio and this coaching staff, which honestly, those of us in the media haven't really gotten a chance to meet Steve Adazio the way we would like, thanks to COVID restrictions. Sure, I've talked to him a lot on Zoom, talked to him at some news conferences last winter over spring practice. Very rarely have we gotten a chance to really get to know Steve or this staff in the way you normally in a non-COVID time would have gotten to know a football coaching staff. They only played four games last year. Very difficult to get a read on a team in four games. So I'm very, very excited to see what this Colorado State football team can put on the field in a full 2021 fall season. with full capacity allowed at Canvas Stadium. I don't know that they'll actually get to full capacity for any games, but 25, 30,000 people, you know, get out there, watch some college football, get back to what we're used to doing on fall Saturdays. That's going to be exciting. And then as these recruits, keeping an eye on these guys during this high school, during their senior year this fall, and what they all hope to bring, because I do feel that Steve Addazio has a very definitive plan for what he wants to do at Colorado State. And yes, it's to become a more physical football team, a more run-oriented football team, a strong, you know, better on both sides of the line. And we saw some of that take place last year. It was kind of, you could watch it build a little bit. Maybe not, you know, they went 1-3 and the losses were ugly, but you could see some development on the defensive line in particular. They got to be a fairly good defensive line, and every one of those players is coming back. Scott Patchen, Manny Jones, Ellison Hubbard, Devin Phillips, those guys, Toby McBride, those guys are all back on that D-line, every single one of them. They've added a transfer, Mike Ciafone, out of Boston College. I believe he's out of Boston College. He might be out of Temple. I don't have it in front of me right now. But they're getting a lot of transfers from Boston College and Temple, where Steve Addazio had been previously, and some of his assistants. I think Ciafone is a Boston College transfer. I'm almost certain, but I don't have it in front of me to confirm. Nevertheless, really good to see that. And then if you get that good defensive line, and he's talked about this, Steve Addazio has talked about it, Louis Addazio, his son, who is the O-line coach, has talked about it. You can develop a good O-line that's just going up working against those guys every day. That fits in nicely with this run-oriented Big Ten-style offense that he really wants. They brought in John Budmeyer from Wisconsin. He is the new offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach. You know, they are going to be a much more run-oriented football team than we've seen probably since the Sonny Lubick days. But that's not a bad thing necessarily, because that was really the last time Colorado State was a consistent winner. They had a couple good years under Jim McElwain, but as far as building continual success, the last time they did it, they had a good run game, a decent passing attack, decent enough to throw when you have to. I think they'll be able to get that at some point. Quarterback's still a little iffy, but at some point they'll find a quarterback that can make that happen, whether it's you know, we're not sure who it's going to be, whether it's Todd Senteo, whether it's the transfer Mike Velache that they're bringing in. But somebody will become that quarterback to move the ball. And then they've got a really stout, and then you want a really stout defense. And that's what Colorado State's success under Sonny Lubick was built on. And I think Steve Addazio is trying to bring that back. Whether or not he's successful, who knows? But I think that's at least his plan, and that's probably a good plan for success at Colorado State, success in the Mountain West. And the in-state recruiting ties into that a little bit, because Colorado has a pretty good reputation. You can't build an entire championship football team out of Colorado players, but you can get some good parts to fit in to what you're getting from elsewhere in the country, particularly Texas, California, Florida, states that this staff is continuing to recruit, just like every successful Colorado State staff ever has. So I'm really looking forward to see what they might be able to develop here and see what this fall season looks like. It could be pretty exciting. Could be a lot of fun. And the schedule, you know, you get your first two games at home. South Dakota State, the defending FCS runner-up, that's going to be a real tough game for Colorado State. And then right after that, you go in, you've got Vanderbilt here, then you play a couple on the road, then you get into your conference season. But it should be very interesting, and I don't know about the rest of you out there, but I'm really looking forward to a full normal college football season again this fall for Colorado State and really for the entire country. So about to wrap it up here for a second for our first segment. Head to a commercial break, but please stay with us, and feel free to tweet me at Kelly Lyle with any Colorado State questions you have, football, basketball, whatever it may be. That's KellyLyell.
It's It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Okay, we're back here at the Auto Collision Specialist Studios for the whole show. This is Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I'm filling in for Brady Hole, who's on vacation this week, a well-deserved vacation. Anyway, we've been talking a little Colorado State football recruiting because that's what June is usually about. It's recruiting time. There's not a lot else going on in the college sports world in June, but there are a lot of camps kids are going to. They're making their decisions, and because of all the COVID restrictions, NCAA coaches had 14-plus months where they were not allowed to do any in-person recruiting. Totally changed the way these people live. They are constantly out and about, calling people, visiting whenever possible, visiting high schools, etc. They couldn't do any of that. Everything was virtual. And really tough probably for anybody, any coaching staff. Every school in the country had the same rules in place. So not a huge deal in general. It doesn't really say one school did better than another. But Colorado State and Steve Addazio and his staff have clearly been very busy since the in-person recruiting was allowed again on June 1st. They've been hosting recruits on campus on visits. They've been visiting with recruits whenever possible on the road. They've been able to get out and see these guys a little bit, and they're reaping some rewards. They have 9 players already committed to the 2022 signing class. That's a pretty good head start on a class. Again, it's June. You don't know how many of those guys you're going to keep come December when the early signing period starts, which is December 15th this year. It'll be the first day of that 3-day early signing period. Obviously, some of these guys may end up getting better offers that they figure are better. I shouldn't say better offers because I don't know all the specifics for all these things, but offers that they may consider better, more prestigious schools, whatever, better opportunities to play right away. You see more people changing commitments these days than ever before, just like you see more players transferring when they get into situations they don't like than ever before. And those rules get relaxed all the time to where transferring's easy. There's no penalty now for transferring. You don't even have to sit out a season. Nevertheless, let's take a little bit of a look at this recruiting class as it looks now on paper. Again, it's pretty early, but it's June, and so far Colorado State, certainly they've gotten some pretty good talent right off the bat in my mind when I look at some of these guys. We talked a little bit here. Your 3 in-state guys are Kai O'Day out of Cherry Creek High School, a receiver who, as I just said, was in the last segment, was talking about watching him at the Colorado State track meet this weekend, and he's one of the fastest kids in the state. He won the 400 meter. He finished second in the 100 meters, third in the 200 meters. He is clearly a speedster. He is a big-time player. Cherry Creek is a big-time high school program. They were my big rival when I was in high school in Boulder at Fairview back in a little while ago, let's just say. But nevertheless, this is a guy that is a really good get for Colorado State. It kind of reminds me a little of when they first got B.C. Johnson to commit out of Bear Creek High School. And B.C., for those that don't know, it was not only a solid player for the Rams, but he's now entering his third season with the Minnesota Vikings in the NFL. So he's a guy that certainly knows what he's doing. Kai O'Day has some of those same credentials, reminds me a little bit. B.C. Johnson was a phenomenal hurdler and sprinter in high school track and then ended up being a real player. They jokingly called him, quote, the standard at Colorado State because he just did everything the way that coaches wanted it done. And teammates were always looking up to him as an example. I don't know Kai O'Day's personality, if he fits that mold or not, but athletically he seems to be a very similar type person to what B.C. Johnson brought. Then they get, like I just was talking about, the guy I talked to earlier today, Bryce Johnson. He's a currently a safety and wide receiver at Lutheran High School, but I guarantee you that with Colorado State signing him to be a pass rush specialist, I'm guessing Lutheran is going to move him up to an outside linebacker, defensive end type spot this year as well and see what he can do there. He's been a very, very solid safety for him the last couple years, as well as a decent wide receiver. He had 8 catches for, I think, 135 yards or so last season. And he was in, I think, 57 tackles, which in a 6-game season is pretty impressive. That's almost 10 a game. So, you know, that's a good thing. Then right down the road here, Cooper Walton out of Roosevelt High School in Johnstown, you know, he commits to the Rams. That's another good get. Those are 3 in-state guys that are part of a recruiting class that then also includes some real top-notch guys from elsewhere in the country. According to the recruiting services, 24/7 Sports, Rivals, probably the cream of the crop. Coyote Day is up there, too, but probably the cream of the crop is Malachi Medlock, who's a running back out of Duncanville, Texas. And, you know, he's a guy that Colorado State really, really went after and got. He's ironically, he made his commitment while I was kind of down, just after I got back from down in his neck of the woods in he's from Odessa, Texas. Those of you who watch Friday Night Lights or read the book might recognize the school, Permian High School. And he spent at least time there. He's moved around a couple different schools. He's at a high school in Dallas now. But nevertheless, he's a big-time player that had some other decent offers. A great get for Colorado State out of the state of Texas. They get also from Texas, defensive lineman Travis Bates out of Tomball, Texas. You know, I'm not super familiar with that program, but he's a guy that was a very solid player, and we know high school football in Texas is pretty legit, and always has been, and it's always been a big part of Colorado State's success. They have gotten a lot of good players over the years from Texas. And then the other commit they got last week, Malachi McLean, who's a safety at Manville High School in Texas. And his team went to the third round of got into the quarterfinals of the state 5A playoffs. He's a guy that he had 36 solo stops I'm giving the wrong player stats. I got my numbers mixed up. Let's see. He had 78 tackles in 10 games last fall, including 51 solo, a couple interceptions, a quarterback sack. That's another great get for the Rams out of Texas, in my mind. He had offers from Utah State and Houston in addition to Colorado State, so nothing at all wrong with getting those types of beating out those types of programs, especially Houston. They're really on the rise these days. And when you get a Texas kid that Houston was recruiting, that's a pretty good sign. So, again, I think this recruiting class is kind of shaping up to be an interesting one. They got their quarterback out of Jake McNamara out of Franklin, Tennessee. And based on what we've seen from Steve Adazio, he probably won't be the only quarterback in this signing class. They signed 3 last year. Granted, one has already left, Luke McAllister out of Palmer Ridge High School in Monument. Just saw that he committed. He had entered the transfer portal recently. We knew that. We reported on that after going through spring practices with the Rams. He is now apparently enrolled at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas, which is a big-time college program. In fact, I believe they just won the national championship for the junior colleges. There's a former Colorado State assistant on the staff there. And anyway, there's, you know, that's going to happen. Guys are going to leave. Guys are going to go through practices, figure out they don't fit in where they thought they were going to fit in, or they just don't like how it looks. So far, I don't see that as the red flag. Some people are terrified. They're like, oh, he left. That's a bad sign. I don't see that because you see it all over the country, guys going through a spring practice or going somewhere for a season and moving on to somewhere where they think is going to be a better fit. Sometimes it's because maybe they want that playing time, and they say, uh-oh, I'm going to be number 4 or 5 on the depth chart. I don't want to stick around and do that when I can go somewhere else and start. Sometimes they feel they're better than the program they're in. They're like, well, I could be a star here, but, boy, I could be a star at a bigger level and go play in the Big Ten or the SEC or something. So I try not to read too much into those things as long as you don't have a mass exodus all at once. And we're not seeing that at this point. In fact, if anything, Colorado State's probably brought in more transfers than it has lost under Steve Addazio. So that's a good thing. And these are a lot of the guys they're bringing in are guys that were with him at Boston College or with some of these other coaches at Temple. So they know the coach and they like the coach and they're coming here for the coach. So that's a really good sign. A couple other guys in this recruiting class that are good gets, though. I mean, you get this one that intrigues me, and I just called him a well-traveled defensive lineman last week, is Aaron Jones, who's a defensive lineman currently planning to play his senior year at Springfield Central in Springfield, Massachusetts, where his uncle is a coach. This guy has been different places. He was in Connecticut, which is where he's from, as a sophomore. Found out they weren't going to play football last year, and they did not. Connecticut did not have a high school football season in 2020 or even a delayed season this spring. They just didn't play at all. He ended up moving to Corpus Christi, Texas, and playing and being a guy that got some all-district and actually some honorable mention and third-team all-state type accolades there at a good program there. And now he's headed back home, close to home, to Springfield, Massachusetts for his senior year. But I did talk to his coach down in Corpus Christi at John Paul II High School, and he said this guy is legit. This is a high school coach that has seen a lot of NFL guys come through in his league while coaching in high school, and he really, really likes the work ethic and the attitude, the mental approach that he saw from Aaron Jones, who goes by the initials AJ. Anyway, some more great things, and I think we're about ready to wrap up our second segment here. But again, this is Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and I'm filling in for Brady Hole here on The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA Sports.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Hole Show, 1310 KFKA.
We're back here on 1310 KFKA. With The Hole Show, this is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and filling in for Brady Hole, who's on vacation. Been talking some Colorado State football recruiting for two reasons, the primary being that's what I know best of what's going on right now that anybody else might be interested in, at least. And this is June, and that's a big part of what happens with college football programs. June is a big-time recruiting month. Not only do you bring your 2021 recruits to campus and get them going in their off-season workouts at the beginning of the month, which Colorado State did, but you really start nailing down your 2022 recruiting class, and that's what Colorado State's done. We've been talking a lot about it. They've got 9 guys already committed to that program, including 3 from Colorado. That in-state emphasis has got a lot of people feeling pretty good about things down the road. And we'll see if that continues. But so far, that has been something that Steve Addazio's done. He started a box them in hashtag on Twitter when he got here, because Colorado, clearly, we all know to the rest of the world, we're the box state. I guess Wyoming is also a box state, but we'll not worry about that. We're the better of the two box states, so we'll just keep it that way. Anyway, going to take a little bit of a look at the Colorado State football schedule coming up for this fall. Now, we haven't really kind of touched on it in the last segment a little bit, but let's take kind of a deeper dive and kind of see where, you know, what we think might happen for the Rams. I've seen the various odds makers out there. Seems to be about 4.5 games wins seems to be where the odds makers are putting the over under on Colorado State. I think they can do a little better than that. I don't want to be, you know, the jump on the bandwagon. Everything's great. I cover this team. Sure, I would like to see them win more games because it's more fun to cover teams that are winning than teams that are losing. But whatever happens, happens. I'll report on it the same. Kevin Lytle and I will still continue to report on it in the Colorado, and like we always do. Nevertheless, let's kind of take a look at this schedule. And it is kind of it's too bad that one of the biggest losses to me in the 2020 season was that Ed McCaffrey didn't make his debut as UNC's head coach at Canvas Stadium against Colorado State. I was really looking forward to that one. Certainly there were other all kinds of way more important things going on in the world that led to the cancellation and shortening of the season, but it was very disappointing for that game in my mind not to happen. I'm still looking forward to see what Ed McCaffrey can do at UNC this year when they finally get to start playing, and they're actually going to open the same night as Colorado State, and they're going to open in Boulder against CU at Folsom. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one. Well, I'm at Canvas Stadium with Kevin Lytle, and we're covering Colorado State against South Dakota State, the defending FCS runner-up. They played for the national championship in the spring FCS season. The FCS delayed its entire season, playoffs, everything till the spring, and South Dakota State, perennially one of the better programs, played for the national championship. Didn't end up winning it, but they were playing for the title. Obviously a very good team. That game's going to be a Friday night, opening weekend of college football season. There's probably some 0 week games prior to it, but Labor Day weekend, Friday night, September 3rd, 7 o'clock at Canvas Stadium. And it'll be the first game since 2019 that fans are allowed to attend at Canvas Stadium. And really only the second game since the 2019 finale at Canvas Stadium, because they only got to play one home game last year with no fans there against Wyoming, and they won the bronze boot, but unless you were watching on TV, you didn't get to see it because nobody was there except for a few select media people like myself. It was a great game to watch. Excited to have fans back in the stands this fall. It's really what college football is all about, that energy. Let's take a look at a couple. Right after that, they go into September 11th. They've got Vanderbilt here, an SEC opponent, big time to get an SEC opponent to come to Colorado State. They did it a couple years ago with Arkansas here, too, so it's not the first time. But Vanderbilt coming here, that'll be good. There would have been the first game in the two-game set would have been last year in Nashville, but it got canceled when the SEC and Mountain West both kind of balked at non-conference games early in the year. And anyway, so first two at home, that's going to be a huge test. Vanderbilt is certainly not the class of the SEC, but they are an SEC program with SEC talent and a new coach. Be interesting to see how that program develops over time, and probably a really good matchup for Colorado State. That's going to be Colorado State's Ag Day, although the game is not kicking off till 8 p.m., so they can get it on CBS Sports Network for national TV. So that Ag Day barbecue will be more for dinner than lunch this year, but that's okay. It's some great food. I always just sit there and smell it and wish I had somehow bought a ticket to eat the wonderful food that they serve on those days. Anyway, let's get moving here through the rest of the schedule. Then there's a road game at Toledo, a very good Mid-American Conference opponent. That's definitely no shoe-in for the Rams to win that. Toledo's had a pretty good program the last few years. And then you get the really, really tough game. This is probably the premier game on Colorado State's schedule this year, at least certainly in the non-conference. They're at Iowa playing the Hawkeyes in Iowa City. That game, so far, no TV plans have been announced for it yet, so we don't know the time and the TV, but they are playing on Saturday, September 25th at Iowa. That's a big-time game, and one that'll really it'd be interesting to see where the Rams fit. I don't think they're going to win that game. I think that would be a real tall task, but I think to just even be competitive in that game and that environment is one of those things that could really go a long way toward making or breaking their season. So then you go into conference play, and normally this would be the easy opener. You get San Jose State here, but oops, San Jose State is the defending Mountain West champion. They had a phenomenal team last year, so there is no easy easy shoe-in win for the Rams on that one. That's on October 9th, so they will have a bye between Iowa and San Jose State, which is kind of convenient. Get a bye between your non-conference season and your conference season. Then they go, you know, start going right into conference play, and you've got, they go after the San Jose State on October 9th, which is their homecoming game for Colorado State. Then they go play on the road on the 16th at New Mexico. On October 22nd, another Friday night game at Utah State. And then they come back to campus for what is always a great environment. It's Boise State at Colorado State. Those games are always a lot of fun. Probably very few people will forget how much a Ram season hinged on a loss at home to Boise State when Boise State came back and won late a few years back. But this will be a big-time game. It's at 5 o'clock on a Saturday, October 30th, day before Halloween. And then they go up to Wyoming on November 6th to try to retain that bronze boot. The Rams will bring it up there and put it on their sideline, and they hope to be leaving Laramie with it still in their possession. That's not something they've been able to do a lot in recent years. Wyoming had won that several years in a row. And then they get another home game against Air Force, a rivalry game with not nearly as nice a trophy as the bronze boot. It's a little carved Falcon, Ram Falcon trophy. It's interesting, but it's not really the rivalry that people want to make it into. The rivalry is Wyoming, the border war. Colorado State would love to beat Air Force, doesn't do it very often. This will be an interesting test this year to see if they can, because Air Force is going to have a whole lot of people that deferred a year of their academy experience last year to sit out when they heard there was not going to be a football season, and now they're coming back to play this year. I believe the final number I heard from people down there, including Brent Brigham, who covers the team for the Colorado Springs Gazette, I think it was over 30 players ultimately did that. And the Falcons still played decent last year, even without 30 guys that had deferred for a year. So I'm really curious to see. Air Force could be one of the best teams in the Mountain West this year. That'll be a great late season matchup on November 13th at Canvas Stadium. Then the Rams head off to Hawaii for the first time in 4 years. That'll be a good one. No time and date yet on that, but that's November 20th. And it'll be at Hawaii's new kind of modified on-campus stadium, because Aloha Stadium is being completely rebuilt for the next couple years. So they're kind of building, expanding the on-campus stadium where they really have not played in a long, long time to accommodate a few more fans. So any Ram fans that want to spend a few days in Hawaii before Thanksgiving might want to check that one out. And then Colorado State will come back and wrap up its regular season on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, as kind of the usual traditional end of the regular season. This time it'll be at home against Nevada, another Mountain West program that's really kind of been on the rise again the last couple years. So it's going to be a very interesting season to see how they fit in. Like I said, the odds makers are thinking 4.5 wins is the over-under on the Rams. I could easily see how they could get to maybe 6 and get to a bowl game, maybe even 7, but I could also see how they could have a really rough start and really struggle to get even 2 or 3 wins. So it'll be a really interesting season to see how things progress, and really Steve Adazio's first true season as Colorado State's coach, because last year was just an unfair thing to judge anybody on. Anyway, it's about time to wrap up this segment here. Like I said, we're talking Colorado State football. We'll talk some basketball in the next hour. But please stay with me here on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA AM.
It's a party, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
And we're back here at the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, 1310 KFKA AM. This is the whole show. This is Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, filling in for Brady Hole, who's on vacation this week and probably doing something fun, or at least I hope he is for his sake. Anyway, I'm filling in, doing his fun job for him for at least a couple hours this afternoon. Glad you can join me, and feel free if you have any Colorado State football-related questions or basketball-related questions you want to ask me, feel free to tweet me at Kelly Lyle, K-E-L-L-Y-L-Y-E-L-L, or tweet the studio at 1310 KFKA Sports, all as one on Twitter. Anyway, we're going to continue to talk a little Colorado State football for now here at the top of the hour, and we were talking right before we went into at the last segment, talking a little bit about the schedule and how it shakes out. I've seen a whole lot of different odds makers that they kind of put Colorado State's at 4.5 wins is kind of the over under on the betting line on Colorado State's 2021 football season. Certainly, that seems like a pretty reasonable thing, but it's not that hard to get this team, look at that schedule, and get this team to 6 or 7 wins in a bowl game. You can look at it and say they don't even have to really be great to get that. They just have to be a little bit better than maybe they were last year, and certainly fix those special teams disasters that we saw. But I think they will, and that's something Steve Addazio put a huge emphasis on in the spring. They're going to continue to emphasize it in August. I think that'll be significantly better. It honestly cost them 2 games last season, their poor special teams play. And in a 4-game season, when you lose 2 of them that way, it's really difficult to handle and recover. But it's kind of interesting to take a look at. I wanted to look a little bit at some of the personnel the Rams are going to be looking at. You know, that 4-game season, it was hard to really get a feel for who was on the field, what they had, what they didn't have. But we kind of have a pretty good idea. One of the best things, if you're a Colorado State fan, is pretty much most everybody other than your starting quarterback is coming back. That's the big loss. Patrick O'Brien, who was the starter, he had a year of eligibility left. He originally came here as a transfer from Nebraska. He left as a graduate transfer to Washington, where at least in the spring he was competing for the starting job with the Huskies in the Pac-12. But technically he was really beat out last year, according to Steve Addazio and staff, by Todd Senteo, the transfer from Temple, who started game one for Colorado State, then struggled enough that Patrick O'Brien kind of took over. What we didn't know at the time that Steve Addazio and others let on finally during spring practices is Todd Senteo got hurt a little bit, dinged up in that first game, so we never really saw him at full strength the rest of the season. So I'm very curious to see. They really, really like Todd Senteo. Those of us who watched him play last year at Colorado State maybe don't have quite as high expectations as the coaching staff. But the coaching staff, they really like him. I mean, Steve Addazio says he sees a lot of the same leadership qualities in Todd Senteo that he saw when he was the offensive coordinator at Florida and Tim Tebow was playing, and he said he sees some Tebow-like leadership and competitive desire in Todd Senteo, and that's something you really want in a quarterback. You need on a football team. You got to have some guys like that if you want to win. So it'll be interesting to see. At the same time, he's no shoe-in because they've got a transfer coming from Boston College that Steve Addazio had recruited previously in his last job, Matt Valachi. And he's going to come in, and I know he's going to be competing right away in August for that starting job at quarterback. He's got a chance to win it. Jonah O'Brien, who had once been a walk-on, was looking pretty good coming in. Anyway, we'll continue with this after the hour. Sorry about the abrupt ending, but we got to take off here. This is the whole show.